This is Radio 4, and now it's time for The Archers.
Oh, Sid, come on, let me.
No, it's all right.
But you hate washing up.
Helps me take my mind off things.
Oh, Sid.
I'm going to have to go up and see Guy Pemberton this morning. Apologise for what happened on Saturday.
Oh, that's what's been bugging you, is it?
Hmm?
What happened at the cricket? That's why you've hardly spoken since Saturday evening.
Well, it reflects badly. I feel so embarrassed.
Oh, come on, Sid. Give me some credit.
Yep, you're right. That's just a minor fly in the great ointment of life. Compared with the news
from Peggy.
It was the last thing I expected, you know. For some reason, I really thought it was going to be good news. Finish this cop.
But we don't even know yet whether she's going to accept the offer.
Yeah, of course she'll accept it. It's close to the asking price. Ah, oh, Kathy's got me beat, this has. Don't mind telling
me. Oh, I know it has, love. But it's no good just sitting round fretting.
What do you want me to do? Throw a party to celebrate?
You know what I mean. We ought to arrange to see Peggy and find out as much as we can.
What's the point?
The point is that it might not be as bad as you think.
Yeah, might be a whole lot worse.
Well, we won't know either way unless we ask. I still think on Saturday there was something she wanted to say. Look, let me ring her and fix to see her.
Oh, I don't know.
I've got some free time before lunch. I'll ask if she can see us then so I can come with you.
You shouldn't have to be involved, love. I mean, you got your own work, haven't you?
Of course I'm involved. And I can't bear to see you like this.
What an opinion, washing up, you mean?
No. I mean, utterly miserable.
It's my problem, Kath.
For heaven's sake, it's our problem. And we'll face it together. But I mean face it and not just sit back and...
Yes, you're right. Yes, thanks, love. I'm sorry, I don't know why you bother with me sometimes.
Perhaps it's because I love you.
Ah, there you are.
Oh, hello, Uncle Tom. Just trying to decide which of these horses I should let them use for the battle at the weekend.
Oh, I see.
Was there something you wanted?
No. Not if you're too busy. I just thought you might have lost track of the time, that's all.
I'm not with you.
Well, it's 11:20.
Yes.
And I haven't had my 11s yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Tom.
Funny, but you sort of expect 11s at 11:00, don't you? That's what they call 11s, I suppose.
Oh, I am sorry. Just let me finish this one.
Oh, it doesn't matter if it's too much bother.
No, it's not that. It's steady, boys. All right. It's just, well, the summer holidays are always the busiest time of year for the riding school. And with this sealed knot business as well, I'm all at 6s and 7s at the moment.
So I can see.
You'll have to bear with me this week, I'm afraid. But I won't be a moment.
Auntie Chris?
Oh, hello, Debbie. You're just in time for 11s.
No, I can't stop, I'm afraid. I've got to get into Borchester, but Nigel asked me to tell you.
Morning, Debbie.
Oh, hello, Uncle Tom. I'm sorry I didn't see you there.
No, well, people tend not to notice you when you get to my age.
How are you?
Hungry and thirsty, seeing as you ask.
All right, Uncle Tom, I'm coming. Sorry, Debbie, what were you going to say?
Look, just a message from Nigel to confirm that it is 10 horses the sealed knot need for the weekend.
Oh, that's fine. It's all in hand.
Right. More than can be said for my 11s.
They're due to start setting up today, aren't they? At Lower Loxley, I mean.
That's right. The camp commandant's arrived. He's put up his HQ, and when I left, he was busy telling everyone what to do. They've started on the village, as they call it already.
It must be quite a palaver.
Between now and Friday, they're bringing in toilets, rubbish skips, beer tents, catering, their own medical service. You name it.
While we're on the subject of catering...
Oh, Nigel must be beside himself.
Oh, don't you believe it? He's loving every minute.
Are we having these 11s or not?
Oh, and they're setting up a separate paddock for the horses, they tell me, away from the battle area.
A huge one, yes. Secure fencing, a lot. You're not worried, are you?
Oh, no. They obviously know what they're doing. I could see that when I went to the Battle of Bristol. I was very impressed, actually.
It's certainly all very thorough. But, look, I must ask. I've got a heap of things to do. I've got to pick up some bits and pieces for my costume and see Nelson about this casket Nigel wants to borrow for the banquet.
And I've got to see to your 11s, haven't I, Uncle? Uncle Tom? Where is he?
I don't know. He was there just a minute ago.
To tell you the truth, I've hardly slept a wink since Saturday. I've
exactly been doing a Rip Van Winkle myself.
You do look tired. And now, on top of everything else, there's Jack to worry about as well.
Oh?
Oh, it's this business of Clive. Ever since he heard, Jack started worrying all over again.
Oh, Clive won't come back to Ambridge.
I'm not so sure. Until he's recaptured, it's just another thing on my mind.
It's very good of you to see us.
No, I wanted to see you anyway. I wanted to tell you that I've decided to accept the offer.
Ah, well, that's it then.
We thought you probably would.
And you've told the agent?
I phoned them this morning. Oh, dear, what on earth does he want?
Hello, Peggy.
Uncle Tom, what are you doing here?
Well, I thought you might like to offer me a cup of tea and a biscuit. Seeing as no one else can be bothered to.
Well, it's a bit difficult at the moment, as you can see.
Well, I didn't know as you had company.
Look, why don't you pop into the kitchen and put the kettle on, and I'll come and find you as soon as we're finished.
I don't want to be any bother.
Don't be silly. We won't be long, will we, Cathy?
What? Oh, no, of course not.
Well, suit yourself, then.
And then we'll have a good old chat. I'm sorry, where were we?
I wonder, would it be possible for you to say who's made this offer?
It's a firm called Webley's. They own a small chain of country pubs.
Oh, no. Not one of them enormous outfits you see all over the place, all cardboard steak and chips and tomato sauce in plastic bottles.
No, Sid, nothing like that at all. I made absolutely sure of that before I accepted the offer.
A small chain, you say?
They've got just a dozen or so pubs, or country inns, as they call them, all in villages like this. And the agents assured me that they always try to keep the character of any property they acquire.
So it might not mean wholesale changes to the Bull?
If I thought it meant that, I shouldn't have accepted the offer. You must realise that, Cathy, surely.
Well, that's good news, isn't it, Sid?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I suppose it is.
And I also discussed with the agents my very, very sincere hope that if Webley's do buy the Bull, they might keep you on, Sid.
Really?
And what did they say?
Well, unfortunately, they're not in a position to say very much. Rather tartly pointed out that it's not really the vendor's place to tell a prospective purchaser who he ought to employ.
No, I suppose not.
But you can be certain of one thing, Sid. I shall make sure Webley's know that, in my opinion, they'd be very foolish indeed to employ anyone other than you.
This is the object in question, I believe.
Yes, that looks like it.
One handsomely carved wooden casket. And do we know exactly what use dear Nigel is planning to put it to?
I think the idea is that he's going to have a welcome speech written on a scroll of parchment, which is going to be delivered to him in the casket at the beginning of the banquet.
By a flunky, no doubt.
By Titcomb, the head gardener, as far as I can gather.
How impressively futile.
there was a velvet cushion to go with it?
But of course. How could I forget the velvet cushion? It's all ready.
Right.
There we are.
I'm afraid Nigel didn't give me any instructions about payment. In fact, I'm not even really sure what the arrangement was. Are these on loan or on hire?
Well, like a true gentleman, Nigel never quite got round to discussing terms.
Ah, and like a true gentleman, you didn't press him.
Well, normally there'll be a small charge.
Well, I'm sure he'll settle up with you as soon as he has a moment.
But actually, as you're here, it occurs to me that there could be a way around that.
Nelson, you're not about to make an indecent proposal, are you?
Well, that's no. But I am about to ask you a favour.
Go on, then.
As you may have heard, my partner has temporarily deserted me.
Kenton, yes.
Before he went, whilst I was still in blissful ignorance of his intentions, I rashly made an appointment to see my bank manager at 3:45 this afternoon in roughly 12 minutes' time, in fact.
On the assumption that he'd be around to mind the shop?
On the assumption that he would at least be in the Northern Hemisphere.
And now you'd like me to mind it instead?
Well, against cancellation of any charge I might levy against Nigel in respect to
the casket and velvet cushion, very clever.
Well, closing the shop makes such a poor impression. And in my experience, cancelled appointments tend to bring out the worst in bank managers.
Oh, it's that sort of appointment, is it?
No, not at all. It's merely routine courtesy. Old Mr. Stone has retired, and young Mr. Harrison, his replacement, is evidently keen to meet his more long-standing customers as soon as possible.
Oh, yes?
There's nothing sinister about it, but I don't want to get off on the wrong foot, do I?
Of course not.
So, what do you say?
Why not? I've done everything I had to do, and it might be fun.
Yes, I can't guarantee that, but it would be helpful.
And do you actually trust me to sell things?
Well, not the large items, perhaps. But I'm sure you can cope with the smaller things if anyone comes in.
Yeah, I gather you had Mark doing a stint on Friday.
Quite. And if he can cope, anyone can.
What if people bring things in to sell?
Well, tell them to come back tomorrow when I'm here.
OK. Well, you're on.
I'm very grateful. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Right.
Oh, just one more thing.
Yeah?
If anyone comes in trying to sell you courgettes, you're on no account to buy them.
It's the same wherever I go. Everybody's busy.
Well, I'm afraid people don't always have as much time as they like.
Cyril can't leave that leg of his. Bert's taking up with the harvest, and Peggy had company. And, of course, the young uns, well, they got no time for an old fogey like me.
Oh, Uncle Tom, you know that's not true. It's just that people have a lot on at the moment.
And I still haven't had me 11s.
No, Uncle Tom, I know, and I'm sorry. But at least I have managed to get your afternoon tea ready, and more or less on time. So if you'd just like to... Oh, don't worry, I'll get it.
Two Jaffa cakes. No custard creams either. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Peggy, come in.
Oh, thanks. I just wondered if Uncle Tom was in earlier.
He's through here. Uncle Tom, it's Peggy.
Oh, hello, Peggy.
I wondered what happened to you this morning.
I
thought you were going to stay for a cup of tea. But when Sid and Kathy had gone, I went into the kitchen. You were nowhere to be seen.
Well, to tell you the truth, I wasn't sure as I was welcome.
Of course you were welcome. It's just that we were in the middle of a very difficult conversation about the ball. Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Tom. I didn't mean to be rude. It was just, well, rather an awkward moment.
Well, I figured you probably had enough to cope with without being bothered with me.
Yes, I was afraid you'd taken it like that.
Uncle Tom's feeling a little bit sorry for himself today.
Well, I've come to try and cheer him up a bit. Jack's not in till later, so I've got a lovely tea ready for you down at the lodge, and I thought we could have a nice long natter.
Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you, Uncle Tom? You've been saying all day you couldn't find anyone with time for a chat.
So, what do you say?
Well, thanks all the same, Peggy, but it's rather... Well, it's rather an awkward moment. Anyway, as you can see, I've got a perfectly good tea laid out for me here.
Oh, no. Now that one's got shell in it. The trouble is, Pip, your mum just isn't a very good cook. Especially not when it comes to fried eggs. Yeah, I know you're hungry, Pip. But so are Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler and the Bartletts or whatever they're called. Oh, please, Pip, let me get this done.
Hi, Ruth. Oh, something burning.
Yeah, it was the first lot of toast. I had to make some fresh. Oh, hell.
You know, I think the egg's supposed to go on the inside of the pan, not down the sides.
I just can't get these to go right. Yeah, all right, Pip. Elizabeth, are you any good at fried eggs?
Well, I've no time, I'm afraid. Hmm. What's the matter with Pipsqueak?
Well, I haven't got time to find out. Oh, Shula, thank goodness.
I can't stop. I've got an early appointment. I just popped in to make sure you were okay.
Well, I'm not, as it happens.
Ruth's practicing an obscure form of nouvelle cuisine. You cook the eggs on the outside of the frying pan.
Shula, you couldn't just make sure the guests are okay, could you? It's ages since I gave them the cereal. They probably think I've emigrated.
Yes, sure.
Oh, give her a rusk or something, could you, Elizabeth? Oh. What's the matter?
Don't look at me, I never touched her.
Oh, there. Oh. Oh. It's all right, Pet. Mummy will be with you in a minute. Do you want to go on your playpen instead? Oh, there you are, then. You play with Teddy for a bit. Please? Good girl. Oh, no, they've gone crisp again.
Bad luck. They're getting a bit restless. And that awful Bartlett child wants to know why there aren't any cocoa pots.
I'll flame in, we'll tell him in a minute. Look, take the tea and toast in to keep them going and tell them the cooked stuff is on its way.
Well, what tea and toast?
Eh? Elizabeth, I don't believe it.
Well, I didn't know, did I? I just saw some toast and I thought...
And you drank the tea as well?
I'm afraid so. I'm sorry.
Oh, I give up.
You're not doing very well at this, are you?
We might do a bit better if you gave us a hand instead of just sitting there criticising.
Look, I'm sorry. I've got to get to work.
Well, thanks, Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth, the least you could do is
it's
stay
and... taking it out on me just because you can't be...
Is that Pip-up again now?
So that's my fault as well, is it?
Yes, hey. Probably.
Hey! What's going on? What can you do from the yard? Hello, little Pip. What's the matter then? You're all already coming, you can't get back, eh? Oh, you come and see your Uncle Bert. Ah, that's better, isn't it? Hey, what are you three all screaming about?
We're auditioning for Macbeth.
Oh, it's nothing, Bert. Just having a bit of trouble getting these breakfasts done.
Looks like too many cooks, if you ask me.
Well, I was just going anyway. I've had enough of this place.
Shouldn't you be getting off too, Shula? Your appointment.
I don't like to leave
We
you.
Can sort this out. Me and Pip will help, won't we?
Are you sure, Ruth? I really ought
you
to
go on. Thanks for trying to help.
Good luck. Bye, Bert.
You're out, Shuler. Now then, young Ruth. What's the problem?
Oh, you name it, Bert. Elizabeth's had the guest tea and toast. Pip's in a bad mood, and I can't get the hang of these eggs at all. Look.
No. Whoa. Your fat's too hot, you see. You want decent fried eggs, you've got to cook them slow. Then when they're cooked, pop them in the oven for a few minutes and a little drop of water and some melted butter. And they'll come up looking smashing.
Really?
Works every time.
But that'll take ages. They've already been waiting 20 minutes.
Oh, soon fix that. Take them in the newspaper. Give them something to do. Take a bit of fruit in a bowl. And some Apache yogurt if you've got any. Lots of different things on the table makes them think they're getting a good deal.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bert. I don't know what we'd have done. How come you're such an expert, anyway?
Oh, pal of Frieda's used to run a B&B. Them just tricks of the trade.
Oh, Susan, whatever's the matter?
Oh, it's nothing. I'm just a bit run down, that's all. I'll be all right.
Oh, you're not all right, though, are you?
I'll be fine, honestly.
I passed a police car in the lane. Is it Clive? Have they caught him again?
No. No, they haven't. They just came up here to ask if I'd seen him and to remind me to get in touch if I hear from him.
Oh, Susan, I wish there was something I could do.
There's nothing anyone can do. That's the trouble. It's my problem. All mine. I'm sorry, Shula. I just want all this to end.
Hi. Oh, sorry, Susan, have I come...
No, we're coming, Debbie. It's all right. Oh, I'm just feeling a bit under the weather, that's all, you know.
It was Shula I wanted to see, actually. Nelson said he'd lent Kenton some books on antiques.
Oh, yes, he did. It was some time ago.
Oh, well, now he's offered to lend them to me, and he thought you might know where you could lay your hands on them.
Mm. I think I saw them at Brookfield. I don't know if they're still there, though.
Oh.
But if not, they'll be in Kenton's flat. And I've got a key, so either way I can get them for you.
Oh, could you? Oh, would that be great.
Look, why don't you come over to Brookfield this evening, and if I found them, you can pick them up.
Oh, thanks. That's terrific.
What do you want with books and antiques? Not thinking of selling off the family silver, are you?
No, I need to mug up for my new job.
Oh, I didn't know you had a new job.
No, neither did I until yesterday. But I've agreed to help Nelson out in the shop while Kenton's away.
Oh, I heard he was desperate.
Oh, well, thanks very much.
Oh, I didn't mean... You know what I mean.
Yes.
Well, what about the riding course? I'd have thought it had been busy at this time of the year.
Well, Nelson's very flexible, so I'm not deserting the riding course completely. But quite honestly, it's only a matter of collecting the cash. And Kate's agreed to do that.
She'll be glad of the chance to earn a bit of pocket money, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And if there are any problems, Mum's always there to help out.
So everybody's happy?
Yes. Well, with one exception.
Oh, don't tell me. Your father.
Yes. But he is just going to have to lump it for a while, I'm afraid.
Nigel, what on earth are you doing?
Oh, hello, Lizzie.
I've been looking everywhere for you.
I'm just putting this sign up.
Sealed knot battles are dangerous.
We have to have them at all public access points. Miss Muster Mistress said so.
What?
The Muster Master General, the big cheese, her orders.
Why are you doing it?
Thought it might be fun to lend a hand. You know, mucking in, the common touch and all that. There's a load of chemical toilets arriving this afternoon.
Nigel, is this really necessary? The Sealed Knot are getting a good deal as it is.
They deserve a good deal. They're raising a stack of money for charity.
Even so, all we're getting is the money from the hire of the land and what we make on the tours of the house.
I know, but...
Surely they can put up their own notices. We have got a business to run. And I've had Mr. Harrison on the phone again.
Oh, Christ, the new bank manager.
This is the third time he's rung, and he's getting increasingly shirty that you still haven't made an appointment to see him.
I will. I promise, when I get a moment.
There's no need. I've done it for you.
Oh, Lizzie.
It's important, Nigel. We can't afford to upset him. You're seeing him on Friday afternoon at 2:30.
That's the day before the battle.
It doesn't matter. It won't take a moment. And it's only so he can introduce himself.
The armies are arriving on Friday. I'll miss all the fun.
Oh, come on, Nigel.
I just want to get it well done, Lizzie.
That's fine. But you've got to keep a sense of proportion.
What do you mean?
I mean that you haven't exactly been your normal, efficient self lately. You've done nothing but witter on about the Sealed Knot for the past week.
I'm enjoying my work, that's all.
Meanwhile, things in the office are beginning to go to pot.
Don't be so melodramatic.
I discovered this morning, for instance, that you still haven't paid that caterer's bill.
I've been busy.
It's a massive bill, and it's months overdue.
Yes, but...
And they are the caterers we're having for the banquet on Saturday. Now, if they decide to get awkward, you might very well find yourself with 120 guests and no food in sight. Except for the egg on your face.
All right. I'll sign the cheque.
It's not that easy, Nigel. There isn't the money to cover it. We're way over our overdraft limit as it is.
Surely the caterer's bills are covered by the money we're owed by TJX. You know, for the conference weekend ages ago.
It would be if TJX had paid, but they haven't.
Right. Engage brain. Look, this is what we do. You get on to TJX and get them to cough up pronto. Meanwhile, we pay the caterers. And as I'm seeing the bank manager on Friday, I can square it with him then. There. How's that?
Well...
Problem solved. So, I can finish putting this sign up now, can't I?
Bert! Bert!
Hang on! Hold me a moment!
It's all right. That's our wheat, that is.
Okay, Judd, away you go. Hello there, bro.
David's wondering what's happened to you.
Ah.
He's waiting by the green store. He expected you back with this load ages ago.
I was held up.
What's the problem? Not David's precious new bailer, I hope.
Oh, no, no, nothing like that. More of a who than a what, really. I just stopped for 5 minutes for a quick drink out of my thermos, and along comes Tom Farris.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't get without him. I told him I was busy. It didn't make no difference.
Well, now he's gone.
You'll never guess what he was on about.
I don't think I'm even going to try, Bert.
Come to tell me about all the stuff he was going to enter for the Flower and Produce Show.
Oh, yeah.
That cheek of the man, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
But he always enters the Flower and Produce Show.
Ah, but he's not eligible, is he?
Pardon?
Tom Forries ain't grown nothing. Mr. and Mrs. Barford have been doing his garden. He didn't do stuff to enter. Ah, you see? Pip knows what I'm talking about. Don't you, Pip?
That's a bit hard, isn't it, Bert?
You can't put in stuff you ain't grown yourself. It ain't right. If he can get away with that, I could get my garden done by that Fred Denham fella.
I'm sure the organisers will sort it out. But if David doesn't get this wheat down there soon... He was ratty enough when I left him.
Oh. You been having a barney, have you?
No, just a slight disagreement about BST.
What, that stuff they give the cows to produce more milk? I thought that was banned.
Yeah, and I think it should stay banned. David's trying to say that with BST we'd keep fewer cows, so the feed bill would be less.
Ah, but they'd all be eating their heads off, wouldn't they, if they was producing that much more milk?
No, it's not just that, it's... Yeah, well, anyway, even without BST, our cows still need milking twice a day.
Well, you going to help your mummy with the milking, are you, Pip?
No, I'm not sure help is the right word. I've no one to leave her with, so we have to do the best we can. And David can't look after her because he's still waiting for...
Yeah, yeah, all right, I get the message. It's funny, though, isn't it? This morning it was me hanging about waiting for David.
Oh, he had to walk the fields to estimate the size of the harvest.
Didn't have to do it this morning, though, did he?
Well, he did, actually. He heard a whisper that if he was quick off the mark, he could get a good price for the wheat.
Oh, that's what all the rush was about.
And it paid off. He's very pleased with himself. He's forward sold 250 tons to be delivered in October, and he stands to make a tidy sum on it as well.
Oh, yeah?
Always assuming that when October does come, the wheat isn't still standing out here on the trailer.
There's your courgettes, then. Same as usual, OK?
Yeah, they're still selling all right.
And how about these? First of me broad beans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't like the look of this black fly damage.
That's just on the surface, that is. Look, they're lovely inside, see?
No, no, can't take the chance, Mike. Sorry. I'll take those spring onions off you, though. They look good.
Yeah, they are. And I brought you some of me lettuce. Picked them this morning.
Well, I've got my own lettuces. Rows of them.
Ah, but yours is Webb's Wonderful. What we got here is Little Gem. Different proposition entirely.
A lettuce is a lettuce to most people.
A class of their own, these are, see? Hardly any outside leads. Crisp, solid art, marvellous nutty flavour. You can't beat them.
Yeah. Spare me the sales patter. No, I'm not really keen.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Take this lot on sale or return. How's that?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Morning, Tony.
Oh, hello, Mark.
Didn't know where they'd be open this early. Hello, Mike.
Hi there.
No, we're not really. But if you want to spend money...
Urgent request for yoghurts for the B&B breakfast.
How many do you want?
Oh, give me three of the large ones. Mixed flavours.
Yeah, Ruth and Shula got you helping out, have they?
Thought it'd be fun. How wrong can you be?
Don't they appreciate your cooking?
They don't appreciate anything. Yesterday, Ruth had the idea of giving them the morning paper with their breakfast. This morning, they want a different one. So I had to dash back home and pick up ours.
Oh, dear.
Yesterday, that ghastly Bartlett child wanted Cocoa Pops. So I went out and bought Cocoa Pops. Turns out on Wednesdays, he always has Sugar Pops.
Well, here's your yoghurt.
And Mr. Wheeler thinks it's terribly funny every time I come into the room to click his fingers and shout, Oi, Manuel.
That'll be £2.88, Mark.
Oh, no, while I'm here, have you got a couple of lettuces for their packed lunch?
Yeah, sure.
No, oh, no, can I have these? Got a better flavour.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
Oh, right you are then.
So what's the damage?
Well, we haven't really priced the lettuces yet. We'll say 40p each for now. That's 368 altogether, then.
Right, there you are. Oh, don't forget cricket selection meeting before Nets tonight.
Yeah, I'll be there. Here's your change.
Thanks.
Look, is it all right if Roy comes up to Nets again tonight? He's dead keen, and I told him so long as he's finished helping me with some weeding, I don't mind him going.
Yeah, of course, more the merrier. We'll look after him. Well, I'd better get back.
Yeah. Oh, Mark, what's that on the seat of your trousers?
Sorry?
You seem to have sat in something.
What? Oh, no. It's tomato sauce.
Bad luck, Manuel.
Yeah. I suppose it'd be quarter ten. This is all Shula's fault. You wait till I see you.
You reckon I deserve this, eh?
What's tickling you, then? You look like you've lost sixpence and found a quid.
I've just been doing a nice bit of business, have you?
Oh, yes.
Ah, with Martha Woodford. I sold her all them courgettes Mike Tucker dumped on me last week.
Yeah. How do you manage that?
Chutney, that's him.
Huh?
I told her it was just what she needed to make chutney for the flour and produce show.
Oh, and she believed you?
Yeah, that's right. She bought the lot for £2.50, she did.
Oh, I mean, last of the big spenders.
Hi.
Oh, hello. Didn't expect you back at lunchtime.
Oh, I'm not stopping, but I've got some news and I wanted to tell you right away.
Oh, yeah? Well, what's that?
Oh, well, it's a
bit... Oh, don't mind me. I'll get out your way.
It's about this chain that's going to buy the bull.
Keep your voice down, Rose. We all have a boss at you.
I bumped into a supplier at Grey Gables this morning. It turns out he also deals with one of the pubs in Webley's chain.
Oh, yeah?
He said that what Peggy said was right. They are very keen on preserving the character of the places they buy.
Good.
Yeah, but even better, Sid... He said it's their policy to try to keep on the existing landlord wherever possible, when they take over a pub.
Really? Oh, yeah, that'd be great, Kath.
Mm.
So you mean...
Service! Oh, yeah, sorry, Mike. That's all right, kiss a half, will you, Sid?
Look at a happy, smiling face. You had a good morning as well, Mike?
Yeah, I have, actually. Sold a load of stuff to Tony first thing. Just had a message he's blocked all my lettuce already and wants another box right away.
Right. Obviously, vegetables is the thing to be in these days. Joe was saying that...
Oh, Joe, hey, look, I'll be back for my beer in a minute, Sid. I just need to have a word with him.
Oh, yeah, right. So, Kath, what do you think? It's good news, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's why I came to tell you straight away. But, Sid...
Yeah, what?
Well, I don't think we should just sit back and wait for things to happen. Now we know this is their policy, why don't we make the first move and approach Webley's ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. Show them we've got a bit of get up and go. You're right, love.
What are you trying to sell now, Mike Tucker? Because whatever it is, I don't want it.
No, Joe, I ain't trying to sell you nothing. Quite the opposite, actually. Look, I've been thinking.
Oh, yeah? Where'd you learn that trick, then?
Look, I feel a bit bad about them courgettes.
Too late for that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I realise I did pull a bit of a fast one on you.
Conscience been pricking you, has it?
Well, something like that. Anyway, I thought, how'd it be...
Ellie ain't interested.
Look, how'd it be if I gives you your pound back?
Oh, well done.
And to make up for all the time you wasted trying to flog them, I'll buy you a pint.
Ah, well, no, that's different, isn't it? Yeah, that's very reasonable of you, Mike Tucker. I don't mind if I do.
Now, Mark, it's down to me. I'm the captain, and it was my idea to bring in players from outside to try to strengthen the team.
It was a good idea.
In theory, maybe, until they started insulting the umpire.
Well, perhaps what we need to do is to concentrate on improving the skills of the players we know rather than importing more new blood.
Yeah, precisely. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, good idea. So, as far as Saturday week is concerned, it's villagers only then?
Well, I don't know. It's only Kevin Shaw and his mates that are a problem. I mean, Barry Simmons and Robert's friend Duncan, they're a different case.
Well, either you ban outsiders or you don't.
It doesn't need to be so black and white. What we're after is what's best for the team.
And Barry and Duncan have done well. Well, you said so yourself, Tony.
And they've never caused any trouble?
Added to which, with Kenton in Australia, you might well be short if we dropped them.
Hmm. Do you want to vote on it, Tony?
No. No point, is it? So, where's that leave us?
Well, if we take last week's team, lose them three idiots, put in Duncan again, who wasn't available, that leaves us with two places to fill.
I propose bringing Tony back in one of them.
Seconded.
Carried. And the last place, Robin?
Or Eddie, I suppose.
Yeah. Haven't forgiven Eddie for the Darrington fiasco yet.
It's not a bad fielder, though. Sometimes.
Robin's much more reliable.
So this is where you're hiding.
Yeah. We thought it might be a bit more private than the bar.
What do you want, Eddie?
As you can see, I come bearing gifts. I thought, making important decisions, it's thirsty work.
Eddie.
So I thought you might appreciate a pint each, out of the goodness of me heart.
Oh, thanks very much.
When the brain is weak and the body tires, treat yourself to a pint of Shires.
What?
Take the notice, Mark. He's been talking like that for days. Thinks he's the Pamirs of Ambridge.
Do I take it you're attempting to bribe us?
Look on it more as a friendly gesture.
Yes. Huh? And you can look on this as an unfriendly gesture. Get out, Grundy. Take your beer with you.
Well, if that's your attitude, I'll just have to drink on myself.
It is. Out. Well, I think that settles the final place, don't you?
Absolutely. What a nerve.
You might have got him to leave the beer.
Ah, well, I'll get on to Robin.
And we can all get off to next.
You'd better not announce the team till you're sure Robin can play, though, Sid.
No. Right. There's no need to put the list up until next week anyway, with us not having a game this weekend.
And I suppose if Robin can't play, then it's back to Eddie after all.
Let's cross that bridge when we come to it, eh?
I came back early to help you with the compost, Clary, love.
You came back early because you're drunk. I thought you was going to cricket nets.
Yeah, I did, worse luck.
What, in that state?
Not my fault. I bought 3 points for the selection committee.
Oh, Eddie, you never.
They refused to drink them, so I had to dean them myself. Time I got up to the nets, I was seeing double. I kept hitting the wrong ball.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, I hit the wicket with me bowling, though.
Oh, well, that's something, I suppose.
Yeah, trouble is, it wasn't in the net I was bowling in.
I take it you ain't got your place in the team back then.
Team ain't up yet. The blooming vicar's getting my place, so I heard. Here. Is that the frozen broccoli compo?
Never you mind about that now.
I've got a great tiebreaker for that one. Everyone's favourite, stay green broccoli. It don't taste bad if you cook it properly. Thought of that while I was batting.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I'm only trying to help.
I don't want no more help from you till we sorted out this blasted campsite business.
Aye?
These people you put on our set-aside land.
What about them?
I told you, I am not having them traipsing around my house at all hours.
We can make a fortune this weekend out of campers. I'm putting up my signs round the village tomorrow.
I don't care, Eddie. I'm not having them coming in and using our bathroom and that's an end to it. I don't like the look of them at all. And there's the boys to think of as well.
Oh, blimey.
If you want to run a campsite, you'll have to provide the facilities to go with it.
Where am I supposed to do that?
That's your problem. But if I find any of them in this house, I'm calling the police. We got enough undesirables in this house as it is. And what the hell you been doing all day, Joe?
I've been keeping my ear to the ground, Terry, that's what.
I thought you always walked like that.
You're keeping your nose in a point pot, more like. Just look at the pair of you.
Ah, well, I had a bit of luck with me courgettes. Hey, Rhoda, I got important news, I have.
Oh, yeah?
Ah, very important.
You're going to tell us then, or do we have to guess?
They're knocking the ball down.
Well, Seth will be upset. He's just got home from Nets.
Oh, not now, you darn beggar. When they turned it into a motel.
What are you talking about, Joe?
I was in there dinner time, see, and I heard Kathy Perks talking, and she didn't think I was listening, but I was. And she says about this chain that's buying the ball.
Oh, I heard there'd been an offer.
Ah, that's right. Well, first off, I thought she meant one of them chains of steakhouses.
Yeah, well, they're all over the place.
Later on, I was in the Cat and Fiddle, and turns out it's a motel chain, see? They're going to knock down the ball and start again.
What about my job?
Well, you can kiss that goodbye. From what I heard dinner time, Sid isn't even sure he's going to have a job himself, let alone you.
But they can't chuck everybody out just like that.
They can do what they like, seems to me.
That's terrible. Oh, dear. Ooh, perhaps I ought to have a word with Mark, see what the legal position is.
That'll cost you an arm and a leg.
I shouldn't bother talking to Mark Ebden just at the moment.
Why not?
He's got problems of his own, hasn't he?
What do you mean?
Shula's left him.
Hey? Don't be daft.
Well, she has. He said so himself.
Oh, you're still drunk, Eddie.
No, I heard him. After Nets, Sid asked him if he was coming back to the ball for a drink. And Mark said he might as well, because Shula had moved out. So there was nothing to go back home for.
That's right. He was in the ball when he got there.
Shula's moved out? Oh, don't believe it.
It's true. Mm. He was telling the doctor and all. Shula's moved back to Brookfield, he said.
Uncle Tom! Uncle Tom! Oh, do I look like him?
Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. It's just I was expecting him back.
Oh, I see.
In fact, I was expecting him back an hour ago. His elevenses. I'm getting a little concerned. He's always so particular about his elevenses.
Well, he was in the shop just after nine, if that's any help.
In the shop?
Yes, laying in stocks for a siege, by the look of it.
That's very odd.
Oh, I shouldn't worry. He's probably just gone for a walk or something.
But it's not like him to go off without telling me where he's going.
Well, he's hardly a child, is
he? No. Looking after a child would be simple by comparison. Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. I'm sure you didn't come to talk about Uncle Tom.
No, indeed I didn't. I have come on a rather exciting mission.
Oh, yes.
Location filming.
Pardon?
Filming. On location. I don't know if you've heard, but after the great success of my twinning video, I have been approached to record the exciting events of the next few days for posterity on celluloid.
Posterity on celluloid?
And where better to start, I said to myself. Then here.
I'm not sure I...
Introductory footage. The opening sequences. Cut to a sudden close-up of you grooming the very horses that will be at the centre of the reconstruction.
But, Linda, I don't have the time...
It won't take long. I'm not doing Ben-Hur. All you have to do is stand there and do whatever it is you usually do.
Linda, I'm sorry, really. But I've got the riding school. I've got a lot of extra work, as you know, and... Right at this minute, I've also got the problem of finding out what's happened to Uncle Tom.
Oh, well, I won't say I'm not a little disappointed, but I can see that you've got a lot on your plate just at the moment. And I suppose all these ridiculous rumours about your family can't be helping matters either.
What?
I know just how hurtful wagging tongues can be.
Linda, what are you talking about?
And if that absurd story weren't bad enough on its own... Now it seems to have acquired an equally malicious sequel.
I'm sorry.
Namely, that when Shula moved into Brookfield, Elizabeth moved out because Nigel has asked her to live with him.
Oh, Martha, thank heaven you're still open.
I'm just shutting up for lunch. I should have closed 5 minutes ago.
Oh, Martha, I wouldn't ask you, but it's an emergency.
What is it, dear?
I need to cash my child allowance for this week.
I'm afraid I've shut the post office side up.
But it's urgent.
And what's urgent? It can't wait till after dinner.
Oh, please, Martha, believe me, I've got to have it now, please.
Oh, dear, give me your book then, if you won't take no for an answer. Oh,
thanks, Martha. Here.
I'm a fool to myself. See, I've got open orders up again. And the cash drawer.
I'm ever so grateful.
Then I gotta find the rubber stamp. Oh dear, now where's that gone?
I'll be
you seen Shula this morning?
Yes, at the office. Why?
I was just wondering how she was.
Ah, here it is.
I did hear a rumour she was having problems.
She was, but it's better now she's at Brookfield.
You mean it's true? She has moved into Brookfield?
Yes.
And she's separated from Mark?
No, of course not. Master, I'm in a hurry. I thought you were too.
But why has she moved into Brookfield if they haven't separated?
Look, Shula and Ruth were having problems doing the bed and breakfast. They decided it'd be easier if Shula moved into Brookfield till Mr. and Mrs. Archer get back. She's moved into Elizabeth's room, and Elizabeth's moved out to Lower Loxley because she's very busy there. Now you know the old story, so could you please stamp the book and give me my money?
Oh, all right, my dear. I only asked a civil question. Now, have you signed it?
Of course I've signed it.
There. That's £18.10, then.
Thanks.
That's 10. 15. Oh, I'm afraid we're closed, my dear.
Oh, no. I haven't come to buy anything. I'm looking for Uncle Tom.
Oh, well, he in the near.
Oh, I'm very worried about him. First he didn't turn up for his 11s and now he's missed his lunch.
Oh, dear.
Martha, please, I've got to go.
I'm sorry, my dear. Where was I?
You've given me £15. I'll need another £3.10.
So you do. 1, 2, 3, and 10. There we are, then.
Thanks. Bye.
Have you, Susan?
What? Seen who?
Uncle Tom.
No, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen anyone.
Well, if you do... Oh, she's gone.
I don't know what's the matter with that one, like a cut-on-up brick she is.
Well, I'm sorry, Martha, but I'm in a rush too. I did hear that Uncle Tom was in here first thing.
Yes, he was, but I haven't seen him since.
And he didn't say where he was going or what he was planning to
do? No, my dear, I'm afraid he didn't.
There. I've done it.
What took you so long?
He wasn't better. It was Martha. It took a while.
I thought you might have done something stupid.
I've got the money, Clive. Here.
And that's it, is it? There ain't no more?
I told you. You've had all the money out of me purse. You've had the £32 out the drawer that we'd put by to pay the electricity bill. And now you've had the child allowance as well. That's all there is.
Quite sure about that, are you?
Yes! Why do you keep on asking me?
Because you're a flaming liar, that's why.
I haven't got anything else.
Then what's this Monopoly money?
Where did you get that?
In the pot on the mantelpiece. £50. I found it while you were out. So you'd lie to your own brother, would you?
You can't take that.
Well, I just have, ain't I?
It's for the kids. For a treat on bank holiday. We're taking him to Alton Towers.
I never had no bank holiday treats.
Please, Clive. Please. It's for Emma and Christopher.
Who's that?
I don't know, do I?
You flaming shot me, haven't you?
Of course I haven't.
Well, don't answer it.
I've got to.
Susan.
It's Linda Snell.
Oh, God.
Get in the kitchen and keep out of sight. I'll get rid of her. Go on. Come in, Linda. Just a minute. Oh. Hello, Linda.
Yes, I thought you were in. I've just brought Emma and Christopher's costumes. I've restitched the hem on this.
Oh, thanks. They're lovely, thank you.
Susan, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. But I'm in a terrible hurry.
Have you been crying?
Oh, thanks for the costumes, but I really must get on. You know how it is.
There's something wrong, isn't there? I can tell.
No, nothing wrong. Except I've got to go. I'm sorry, Linda. You'll have to excuse me.
She gone?
Yes, she's gone. And now you can go too. And don't come back. I can't stand any more of this. I really can't.
I ain't had my shower yet.
I don't care. Just get out of here. You've got the money. You've got over £100. That's enough to get you right away. Go to a big city, Clive. Go and lose yourself. Away from here. Away from me.
But you're my sister. I need your help.
I can't help you anymore, Clive. Can't!
No, Peggy. Nothing at all day. Yes, George is out looking for him now. Well, of course I am. I'm absolutely frantic. No. No, all right. Thanks, bye. Oh, try not to worry, she says. Come in, it's open.
It's only me.
Oh, Linda.
And I brought someone to see you.
Uncle Tom.
Evening, Christine.
Oh, thank God. Oh. Where on earth have you been? I've been worried sick. Here, sit down. You look all in.
We
found him sitting on the village green, didn't we, Mr. Forrest?
7:30 in the evening. But what were you doing there?
Oh, just a spot of general atmosphere filming.
I mean, what was Uncle Tom doing there?
He was sitting on the Lawson Hope seat.
But why?
Well,
keeping out of the way, as far as I could gather, because he doesn't want to be a nuisance to anybody.
Oh, Uncle Tom, you know very well you're not a nuisance.
That's precisely what I was saying in the car, isn't it, Mr. Forrest?
The older
members of our community are highly valued, and deservedly so.
Of course.
And one or two of the younger ones in this village could learn a lot from them in that respect.
Oh, dear. Has someone been upsetting you, Linda?
Long and hard I laboured on those costumes for the Carter children. I went out of my way to deliver them personally, and Susan couldn't get rid of me quick enough.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Frantically slammed the door in my face, Christine. Suddenly it seems I'm not good enough to be introduced to her friends.
What do you mean?
Well, I know she had another visitor at the time, because I heard her talking to someone before I rang the bell.
Well, that doesn't sound like Susan.
There's something very strange going on in that house, if you ask me. Still, I suppose it's none of my business. And anyway, I must get back behind the camera before the light goes.
I'm very grateful to you for bringing Uncle Tom home.
I'm not one to pass by on the other side, and never have been. Goodbye, Mr. Forrest. Christine.
Thanks for the lift.
Bye. Uncle Tom, where have you been?
Oh, here and there.
Didn't you realise we'd be out of our minds with worry about you? What have you been doing?
I have been looking after myself, that's all. Seeing as everybody else is so busy. Looking after myself and keeping out of the way.
But when you didn't come home for lunch, I didn't know what to think.
Well, I've been thinking. Perhaps it's time for me to move out of here. To stop being a burden to you.
Oh, you're not a burden. Don't be ridiculous.
I came here because I couldn't get about after me fall. But my leg's as mended now as it ever will be, and I don't want to outstay me welcome.
Oh, you haven't. Uncle Tom, I know I haven't paid as much attention to you lately as I should have done, but I know that, and I'm very sorry.
Oh, I don't know. It's not that I'm not grateful. But the truth is, you don't really have the time for me, do you?
Then I'll just have to make the time.
There we are, Nigel. One gin and tonic without the gin. 60 pence, please.
Thanks. I'm meeting the bank manager this afternoon. It wouldn't do to turn up sloshed, would it?
Certainly not. Mind you, if he's anything like my bank manager, you're probably better off not turning up at all.
Anyway, I didn't really come for a drink. I'm here on business.
Oh, yeah?
I just wanted to double-check the arrangements for the public beer tent.
Don't worry, Nigel. It's all in hand. No problems at all.
Ah, that's terrific. Funny, people have been saying that to me all morning. I'm almost beginning to worry that things are going a bit too smoothly.
Oh, hello, Eddie.
Nigel. Oh, give us a pint, will you, Sid?
Certainly.
How's your campsite going?
What was the slogan for unusual comfort, service and charm come to the Grundys down on Grange Farm?
So happens it's going very well.
That's not what I heard from some of the people up at Lower Loxley who went to Grange Farm first.
Yeah, until they very quickly saw the error of their ways.
They weren't quite convinced, I don't think, by your idea of four-star facilities.
Yeah, well, that was before we put the latrines in.
The latrines?
I got William to dig them for some extra pocket money.
Right. You'll be sending him up chimneys next. Here you are, Eddie.
So, and I've rigged up some floodlighting.
Ah. In case anyone fancies a game of footy, I suppose.
Yeah, we've got a whole load of people there now.
Really?
He means they got a few misfits and oddballs who've been turned away from everywhere else.
I'd have thought you'd have been a bit more careful what you said to me, Sid Perks, seeing as you're going to be asking me a favour.
Beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm still extremely upset about you picking Robin for the cricket team instead of me.
Oh, yeah.
But in the circumstances, I've decided that I am graciously willing to forgive and forget.
And what circumstances are these, Eddie?
Robin said he can't play, hasn't he?
Ah.
Well, am I right or am I right?
Yes, yes. Robin's too busy, that's true.
See? So I'm going to be back in the team.
Well, what gives you that idea?
It stands to reason. Ain't no one else, is there? Unless you're thinking of asking Nigel.
Sorry, I think my playing days are over.
There you are. Who else is there?
The team will be posted up next week, Eddie.
Yeah, and we both know I'll be in it, don't we? You just don't want to lose face by admitting you need me.
Like I said, Eddie, wait till next week. Oh, David, can I get you?
Oh, nothing, thanks, Sid. No, I just wanted to catch Nigel. I saw your car outside.
Yes.
Brookfield's resident Uncle Mac.
Well, he's busy with the harvest.
Oh, yes, cool.
So, I'm on the lookout for volunteers. Nigel.
No fear. I know less about babies than I do about cricket.
That bad, eh? Oh, well, worth a try. Well, I must go.
I might be able to help you, Ed.
You?
Yeah. One of the girls on our campsite's looking for casual work.
Yes, Eddie, I have seen the people from your campsite, thanks. Anyway, they're only here for a few days. We really need someone who can help for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, this is where you're hiding.
Richard, hello.
I've just been all the way into Borchester looking for you in the antique shop.
Oh, Nelson gave me the day off. I've been giving Christine a hand.
Oh, yeah. The horses will be going off up to Lower Loxley this afternoon, won't they?
Yeah. She also wants to devote more time to Uncle Tom. So she asked if I could help out.
I gather he went walkabout yesterday.
Christine was absolutely frantic. It's all right, Holly, there. Now, of course, she's feeling overcome with guilt. Mind you, I think that was the idea.
What, you mean it was a set-off?
Oh, I'm almost certain of it. Cyril had the day off yesterday. I bet they were off together somewhere, having a whale of a time.
No wonder you're a royalist. You have a nasty, suspicious mind.
Is that what you came to tell me?
No. I came to remind you about tonight.
Ah, eve of the battle, gathering of troops in the bull.
Yeah, should be a good night. Most of the Ambridge people who are taking part have said they'll be there. Mm-hmm. Some of the early arrivals from the Seal Knot. And Nigel and Lizzie are coming down.
Well, I'll do my best.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the same without you.
So long as you don't make too many corny remarks like that one.
Sorry. Am I allowed to say that Tolly is looking particularly well turned out today? Or is that a horsist remark?
No, that's allowed. He's got the complete kit. 17th century style bridle.
Right.
And this authentic saddle.
Complete with a brace of dummy pistols.
I didn't realise they'd be so big. And have you seen these, what are they called?
Ah, wheel locks.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the real thing, when you pull the trigger, the spring rotates this wheel against a piece of pyrites, which creates a spark that ignites the powder.
Ah.
And do we get a sneak preview of your outfit as well?
Certainly not. Though I think you'll find it rather splendid.
Well, I must remember not to say so. Have you had a chance to look at the battle script?
Yes, of course. I practically know it by heart. Especially phase four.
Oh, you mean after the parliamentarians have taken the bridge...
And the royalists call up reinforcements to mount a counterattack, because that's us, isn't it, Tolly, old boy?
Right.
We'll give you roundheads what's for. You get it easy in the early stages, but then you've got me to reckon with.
Oh, I thought it was Prince Rupert's cavalry that led the counterattack.
Yes, and I'll be right behind them. I can't wait. You think you can take Hassett Bridge without one hell of a fight? You've got another think coming.
Yeah, but... Well, you want to be careful about getting too involved in the actual
like
fighting.
Like hell I do. I want to be in the thick of it.
Well, it can get pretty hairy at times.
Yeah, but the hairier the better. What's the matter with you, Richard? I thought that's what it was all about. Danger, excitement.
Yeah, it is, but...
Oh, but not for women, is that it?
No, of course that isn't it.
Then why are you being such a wet blanket all of a sudden?
I'm just not sure it's a good idea you getting right into the centre of the battle, that's all.
Well, why ever not?
Well... You know, after what you went through in the raid, when there's guns and cannons going off all over the place, I'm just not sure it's a good idea.
You'd rather I potted sedately round the edges.
I just want you to take it easy, that's all, and not do anything too ambitious.
Oh, I get it. You so-and-so.
Well, what do you mean?
I know what you're doing. You're losing your bottle, you roundhead, so you're going round the enemy trying to persuade us not to fight. Take it easy, indeed.
Of course
I'm very not. Clever, but it won't work.
I'm concerned about the idea
about
of
the
you
idea
getting...
of your lot being given a hard time. What a sneaky trick.
Debbie, I'm serious.
Yeah, nice try, Richard. But you'll have to come up with something a bit less transparent than that if you want to stop Tolly and me showing what we're made of.
Sid, when you're ready.
Yes, be with you in a minute, David.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Cheers, mate.
Who's that, Eddie? Another of your campers?
Yeah. Flocking in, they all. Got the floodlighting rigged up now. And Dad's flogging them his cider.
Oh, poor devils.
Now, you're just jealous, that's all. Didn't think of doing it on your land.
We've got enough problems as it is.
Just been telling Paul about the cricket.
Yeah, what about it?
I'm back in the team, ain't I?
Are you?
Since when?
Since the vicar said he couldn't play. Sid told me lunch time.
Oh, come back, Kenton.
Sorry, David. Another point, was it?
Yes, please, Sid. You've got one.
Oh, you archers are tight. Oh, you can afford to splash out thousands of quid on new machinery, though.
The baler? It's different. We needed that.
Then I need another point.
Ah, lovely machinery, that is. Worth every penny.
How's the harvest going? You haven't finished it, have you?
No. A long way to go yet. But I have sold it forward. Well, the wheat, anyway.
Oh, yeah?
250 tons, got a really good price.
Oh, typical. And you won't even buy me a point.
Yeah, David.
Thanks, Sid. So, what's the latest on this place, then? Cathy said you were going to get in touch with the firm that made the offer.
Yes, we have. Got an appointment to see him on Tuesday, so I'll keep fingers crossed for me.
Oh, well, yeah.
Excuse me a minute. Yes, come in. Right.
Richard.
Hello there. Hello.
Oh, I didn't know you were so popular, Richard.
Oh, I'll go back a long way with some of them. Want a drink?
Yeah, I've just got one, thanks.
Oh, I'll have one if you're buying.
Well, I will be if I can get sitting down here. Not Ruth, David?
No, she's having an early night. She's exhausted, trying to do the farm, B&B, look after Pips, getting beyond a joke.
Not Debbie, either.
Leave me point on the bar when it comes, will you, Doctor? Just going to pop out the back.
Yeah, right you are, Eddie. I'm a bit worried about Debbie, actually.
Yeah?
She was gone a bit overboard about this battle.
Oh, she's just getting into the spirit of it.
No, I'm not so sure. It all sounds slightly, you know, hollow to me. She seems determined to put herself right in the firing line.
Yeah, she can look after herself.
I tried to talk to her about it. She won't take me seriously. She thinks I'm some kind of fifth columnist trying to undermine the enemy.
Yeah, then, Richard, what can I get you?
I'll have a pint, please. Oh, one for Eddie. Pulling here tonight?
Yeah, just how I like to see it.
Yeah, all right, lads. I'm not a twig at him now, you know. I'm sorry, Debbie.
Boys will be boys, I suppose. It's a bit pathetic, though, isn't it?
Yeah, let me get you a drink. What do you have?
Gin and tonic, please.
And a gin and tonic, please, Sid.
It's okay.
Where are Nigel and Elizabeth? I thought they were supposed to be here.
Well, they're coming. Just haven't arrived yet.
Right. Elizabeth probably can't decide what to wear.
So, are you ready for the fray tomorrow, David? There'll be no quarter given, you know.
And none asked.
Yeah, what's she doing here?
Who?
Debbie Aldridge.
Why shouldn't I be in here?
I thought this was a rounded pub. She's a royalist.
Oh, Lizzie, not still working.
Nigel, where the hell have you been? I've been waiting for you all evening.
No, I went to see the bank manager.
Yeah, that was 7 hours ago.
Gosh, was it?
Where have you been since then?
I bumped into a few old chums. Haven't seen them for a while,
oh,
so...
Oh, for God's sake,
I'd
Nigel.
I'd done everything on the list, so I thought a little drinky poo would be in order. And then we decided we needed something to eat. And, well, you know how it is. But I'm here now, so Cinders can go to the Bull after all.
We're not going to the Bull.
We promised. Everyone's expecting us.
There's something we have to discuss. Urgently.
We'll talk about it after the weekend.
No, we'll talk about it now.
Lizzie, everything's ready for tomorrow. We deserve an evening off.
Nigel, this can't wait.
What is it?
Well, I'll tell you when you've told me how you got on with the bank manager.
No. It's bad enough meeting the man without having to talk about it as well.
You mean you didn't get on with him?
He wasn't a bit like old Mr. Stoughton. He had all these bits of paper on his desk. He kept wanting to talk about figures and things. I didn't like it at all.
What did he say?
He was really quite nasty.
But what did he say?
If you must know, he said we'd exceeded our overdraft limit for far too long. And if we didn't take immediate steps to get back to the agreed limit, he'd cancel it.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, Lizzie. I'm sure he didn't mean it. He's just being super keen because he's new in the job and he wants to make an impression. Anyway, I talked him round in the end.
You talked him round? What do you mean?
I'm not completely useless, Lizzie. I turned on a bit of the page de charm, said I was terribly sorry. And then I calmly pointed out that we had this huge bill owing from TJX. And if you took that into account, then the overdraft is only really a teeny tad above the agreed limit anyway.
Yes.
I thought I'd done rather well, actually.
Look, it's TJX we have to discuss.
What do you mean?
I've been chasing them since Tuesday and getting nowhere, so I made a few inquiries this morning, which produced a very distressing rumour. And this afternoon, whilst you were gadding about with your chums, the rumour was confirmed.
Yes?
TJX have gone into voluntary liquidation, Nigel. The money won't be coming.
Thank you.
The Archers was written by Mick Martin and the agricultural story editor was Anthony Parkin. It was directed by Tim Coleman in our Pebble Mill studios and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.